You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. On this show, we talk about big economic ideas all the time. Money, the markets, trade, labor. But all this stuff came from somewhere, or rather, some time. So let's take a look backwards, away from the news, at a different money story. The story of where the idea of economics came from, and why that's important today.
So I'm Eve Epstein. I'm an editor at Marketplace. I look at words all day long. And of course, I also think a lot about economics because that's what the show's about. And one day I wondered this very basic question. Where does the word economics come from?
Economics.
Anyone?
And I instantly knew that the person who might know the answer is my friend, Ellen Millender, because she's a professor of classics at Reed College in Portland, Oregon. So, Ellen, I have to ask you, where did economics come from, the word? Is that from a Greek word?
Well, if you want an expert on economics, you came to the wrong person, Eve. But if you want to know where the word comes from, you came to the right person. And it does indeed come from Greek. We have an ancient work called the Oikonomikos.
A book? A scroll?
Well, originally it would have been a scroll, right? Now I have it in book form. Oikonomikos comes from two Greek words, but the most important word for us is oikos, which means household. I figured that an economist would know about this work, right? So I paid a visit to my friend John Rourke, who is an economist at Reed.
Hello, John.
And I brought along my copy of the Oikonomikos, and was I surprised.
Okay, so in economics, like how far back do you go in history? Like where would you say economics began with your study? Like Stone Ages, ancient Greece possibly, ancient Rome?
Oh gosh, no, not that far back.
Seriously?
Yeah, no.
You're serious? Nothing about ancient Greece?
No.
Okay, so John, see this book,
yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
The Oikonomikos. So are you telling me that you have never been introduced to the Oikonomikos?
I can pretty much say with 100% certainty that most economists have not been introduced to hippopotamus, oinkopotamus, what is it?
So Ellen, proving that she knows the origin of this word, oikonomikos, even though economics professors may not have learned it in school.
And call it hippopotamus.
But Ellen, you know, I know that Aristotle is credited with coming up with the idea of scientific study.
The physician heals, nature makes well.
He's so overrated.
Plato came up with philosophy and political philosophy.
Thinking. The talking of the soul with itself.
But who wrote Oikonomikos?
Well, the author is someone I'm sure you've never heard of. This is a guy named Xenophon. Xenophon is an Athenian. He's born around 430 BCE. He was not just a writer. This is a man who was also a man of action. So in the year 401 BC, Xenophon goes off as a mercenary under Cyrus the Younger to go take the throne from Cyrus's brother. And this army of mercenaries called the 10,000 gets stranded in literally modern-day Iraq in Mesopotamia. And they have to fight their way back through snow, barbarians, honey that makes people psychotic. Honestly, honey.
Honey?
Honey from a yellow rhododendron. And Xenophon records this in a work known as the Anabasis, which became the basis of a cult film, The Warriors.
We know about the Warriors. They're a heavy outfit.
Between them and safety stand 20,000 cops and 100,000 sworn enemies.
I want them all. I want all the Warriors.
Things don't end there. So he comes back to Greece. He's exiled from Athens sometime in the 390s. And then he becomes sort of an armchair everything. He writes all kinds of works, including this work, the Oikonomikos, probably sometime around 362 BC.
So I have to point out here, it's home economics.
Yes.
But it was written by a guy who was far from home, served as a mercenary soldier, was out killing people. You know, I might have expected that a work like this would have been written by a Greek domestic goddess, somebody who actually stayed home and knew what home management was about. So why did he get interested in that? Why did he start writing it?
You know, that's an interesting question. It's so funny, Eve, when you say home economics, I think of making bad sweaters.
The girls learn about how clothing is manufactured and other aspects.
boning food when I was
or in my case, learning sewing, which I never really caught on to.
Xenophon is really interested in the idea of gentleman farming and, in a sense, how one should ideally run a household in Athens. What's fascinating about it is he really respects the female contribution to the household, unlike really most other Greek authors. It's highly unusual.
And what does he say that is?
The man brings the goods into the house, and the woman ensures that the goods are properly utilized, properly stored. She's the one who manages the slaves in the household.
Because the woman was physically less capable of endurance, the god has evidently assigned the indoor work to her.
And the idea is that what goes on in the household is equally important to what goes on outside the household.
So I've got to ask you, Ellen, you talk about slaves, you talk about someone who's a landowner. Would that have been a typical Greek household? It sounds, frankly, like a wealthy household.
Granted, the work is idealized, and this man probably has more money than your average Athenian. But for the state to be well-ordered, right, the households that make it up, the oikoi, right, have to be well-ordered.
But there sounds like there's a darker side, too, that the woman, perhaps, and certainly the slaves, their labor's being exploited in some way in this household. What is the darker side to this idealized portrait of the home?
Economic exploitation is part and parcel of Athens, right? The household survival is dependent on the sexual segregation of women, even though he respects women's labor. More problematic is the exploitation of slaves on a huge scale. You may have something as high as one slave per three or four Athenians. Athenian democracy was built on and could not have survived without the exploitation of women and slaves.
Wow.
So it's pretty dark. Absolutely.
So how did this play in the ancient world?
The democracy's very survival, right, is dependent on the constant inflow of money from land, which is being tilled by slaves, or from the tributary allies.
So bringing that to modern times, I wonder what Xenophon would have thought about how this whole now science of economics,
the market,
neo-Marxian economics,
institutional,
neoclassical
economics,
Keynesian
behavioral
economics.
What would he think if he were to come back today and see where oikonomics has gone?
I think in some ways he would be shocked by the fact that we so discount, right, the work of women in their households. I think politics and economics, they're certainly going to be intimately connected in his head, but I think in just in a very different way. Our economy would be unrecognizable.